Lest We Forget, Volume 12, Number 1. Reaffirm, reprint, retell. Key extracts of 24 documents from 1896 to 1910. This is Part 2. In the last issue, we published portions of 5 documents from 1896 to 1903. The common threads in each of these councils are the importance of how God has led and the need to recount the past and to recognize the immovability of the foundation he laid, all in the light of eyewitnesses dying and new light attacking these pillars. We continue here with 1904 and 1905. This first statement by Ellen White was published in 1904 and entitled The Foundations of Our Faith. As a people, we are to stand firm on the platform of eternal truth that has withstood test and trial. We are to hold to the sure pillars of our faith. The principles of truth that God has revealed to us are our only true foundation. They have made us what we are. The lapse of time has not lessened their value. It is the constant effort of the enemy to remove these truths from their setting and to put in their place spurious theories. He will bring in everything that he possibly can to carry out his deceptive designs. But the Lord will raise up men of keen perception who will give these truths their proper place in the plan of God. The enemy of souls has sought to bring in the supposition that a great reformation was to take place among Seventh-day Adventists, and that this reformation would consist in giving up the doctrines which stand as the pillars of our faith and engaging in a process of reorganization. Were this reformation to take place, what would result? The principles of truth that God in His wisdom has given to the remnant church would be discarded. Our religion would be changed. The fundamental principles that have sustained the work for the last 50 years would be accounted as error. Many of our people do not realize how firmly the foundation of our faith has been laid. My husband, Elder Joseph Bates, Father Pierce, Elder Edson, and others who were keen, noble, and true, were among those who, after the passing of the time in 1844, searched for the truth as for hidden treasure. I met with them, and we studied and prayed earnestly. What influence is it that would lead men at this stage of our history to work in an underhanded, powerful way to tear down the foundation of our faith, the foundation that was laid at the beginning of our work by prayerful study of the Word and by revelation? Upon this foundation we have been building for the past 50 years. Do you wonder that when I see the beginning of a work that would remove some of the pillars of our faith, I have something to say? I must obey the command, meet it. We are God's commandment-keeping people. For the past 50 years, every phase of heresy has been brought to bear upon us to becloud our minds regarding the teaching of the Word, especially concerning the ministration of Christ in the heavenly sanctuary and the message of heaven for these last days, as given by the angels of the 14th chapter of Revelation. Messages of every order and kind have been urged upon Seventh-day Adventists to take the place of the truth which, point by point, has been sought out by prayerful study and testified to by the miracle-working power of the Lord. But the waymarks which have made us what we are to be preserved, and they will be preserved as God has signified through His Word and the testimony of His Spirit. He calls upon us to hold firmly, with the grip of faith, to the fundamental principles that are based upon unquestionable authority. Next is a paragraph taken from a letter written to G.I. Butler, July 14, 1904. At this crisis, all are called upon to take their position. We must stand apart from those who are determined to make shipwreck of the faith. We must not sell our Lord at any price. We are to refuse to listen to the sophistries that have been brought in to make of no effect the truth for this time. Not a stone is to be moved in the foundation of this truth, not a pillar moved. Next are excerpts from a letter to Brother and Sister Cress, March 14, 1905. The truths that we have been proclaiming for more than half a century have been contested again and again. Again and again the facts of faith have been disputed. But every time the Lord has established the truth by the working of His Holy Spirit, those who have arisen to question and overthrow the principles of present truth have been sternly rebuked. They are not to remove one pin from the foundation of truth that the Lord has built up from point to point by the ministration of the Holy Spirit. If one point is yielded, there is no surety that other points will not be discarded, and point by point the structure of truth will be assailed and discarded. Yielding to Satan's sophistry, they stand on a false track, and by their representations endeavor to tear down truths that God has made fast, never to be moved. By their course, the inexperienced are led to wonder whether these special truths are not, after all, errors that ought to be shunned. When brought into straight places, they will give up the Sabbath and its powerful endorsement, and the more they are opposed in their apostasy, the more self-sufficient and self-deceived they become. Those who misinterpret the precious things God has given me for His people, those who take the sentiments by which God so beautifully shows the difference between the earthly and the heavenly, removing these sentiments from the position in which God has placed them, and making them testify to seducing errors, are removing the landmarks. They cherish sentiments which they should resolutely have discarded. In an unmistakable, decided manner, the reproof of God has come to them, forbidding them to spoil the people of God, forbidding them to teach sophistry for truth. God gives me the message, beware of the leaven of those who have been destroying the faith of Seventh-day Adventists. There are those to whom I fear to write personally. God says, beware of the leaven of those who have stepped off the platform of truth, those who use my writings, given me by God, and build themselves up in sophistry and deceptive theories, steal that which was given to establish souls in the sanctification of the truth, and use it to testify to theories against which I am bidden to warn our people. Beware of the leaven that some who have lost their connection with God will introduce, declaring their theories to be in harmony with that which Sister White has written. Have I not a knowledge of how to present these things without spoiling the faith of our people? I shall write just as God bids me write. What I have written, I have written. Every word is truth. This next statement was published March 29, 1905, and taken from an article entitled An Appeal for Faithful Stewardship. The foundation has been laid, and all who will take their stand upon this platform, uniting wholeheartedly with the Lord's people, will be made welcome with rejoicing. But we cannot unite with those who choose to take their stand upon another foundation. There is no use in talking of harmony while they continue to do this, for harmony would never exist. God forbids it. There is to be a decided change in those who have kept up their warfare against the principles delivered to us by the Lord. Truth is truth, and righteousness is righteousness. I am instructed to bear a testimony to those who are entertaining erroneous sentiments, and to tell them plainly of their danger. But we are in no case to link up with them or to argue with them. Truth is truth, and we are to stand on the affirmative side, presenting the truth and refusing to be drawn into controversy. The next statement is from a letter written to W.C. White, April 6, 1905. I have had presentations regarding the deceptions that Satan is bringing in at this time. I have been instructed that we should make prominent the testimony of some of the old workers who are now dead. Let them continue to speak through their articles as found in the early numbers of our papers. These articles should now be reprinted, that there may be a living voice from the Lord's witnesses. The history of the early experiences in the message will be a power to withstand the masterly ingenuity of Satan's deceptions. This instruction has been repeated recently. I must present before the people the testimonies of Bible truth and repeat the decided messages given years ago. I desire that my sermons given at camp meetings and in churches may live and do their appointed work. There will be constant warfare with seducing spirits that will bring in theories to counteract the truth of God. All who turn from the warnings that God sends them will be linked up with these seducing agencies. Next is from a manuscript entitled Building the Waste Places, May 1905. We need to walk humbly before the Lord. His truth is to be substantiated and magnified. We are warned that heresy of every kind will be brought in among the people of God in these last days. One heresy leads to many other heresies in the explanation of the Word of God and in departing from the Lord's designs and plans. Let our meetings in this conference be times for the investigation and building up of the waste places. The Lord would have us at this time bring in the testimony written by those who are now dead to speak in behalf of heavenly things. The Holy Spirit has given instruction for us in these last days. We are to repeat the testimonies that God has given His people, the testimonies that present clear conceptions of the truths of the sanctuary, and that show the relation of Christ to the truths of the sanctuary so clearly brought to view. If we are the Lord's appointed messengers, we shall not spring up with new ideas and theories to contradict the message that God has given through His servants since 1844. At that time, many sought the Lord with heart and soul and voice. The men whom God raised up were diligent searchers of the Scriptures, and those who today claim to have light and who contradict the teaching of God's ordained messengers who were working under the Holy Spirit's guidance, those who get up new theories which remove the pillars of our faith, are not doing the will of God, but are bringing in fallacies of their own invention, which, if received, will cut the church away from the anchorage of truth and set them drifting to where they receive any sophistries that may arise. These will be similar to that which Dr. J. H. Kellogg, under Satan's special guidance, has been working for years. Our work is to bring forth the strong reasons of our faith, our past and present position, because there are men who, never established in the truth, will bring in fallacies which would tear away the anchorage of our faith. Even presidents of conferences will fear to move, as some have done, dictating and commanding and forbidding. They drive the sheep away into forbidden paths. God sends no man with a message that leads souls to depart from the faith that has been our stronghold for so many years. We are to substantiate this faith rather than tear down the foundation upon which it rests. Next is from an article published in the Review and Herald, May 25, 1905, entitled, The Work for This Time. God has given me light regarding our periodicals. What is it? He has said that the dead are to speak. How? Their works shall follow them. We are to repeat the words of the pioneers in our work, who knew what it cost to search for truth as for hidden treasure, and who labored to lay the foundation of our work. They moved forward step by step under the influence of the Spirit of God. One by one, these pioneers are passing away. The word given me is, let that which these men have written in the past be reproduced. Let the truths that are the foundation of our faith be kept before the people. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They talk science, and the enemy comes in and gives them an abundance of science. But it is not the science of salvation. It is not the science of humility, of consecration, or of the sanctification of the Spirit. We are to understand what the pillars of our faith are, the truths that have made us as a people what we are, leading us on step by step. After the passing of the time in 1844, we searched for the truth as for hidden treasure. I met with the brethren, and we studied and prayed earnestly. Often we remained together until late at night, and sometimes through the entire night, praying for light and studying the Word. Again and again these brethren came together to study the Bible in order that they might know its meaning and be prepared to teach it with power. When they came to the point in their study where they said, "We can do nothing more," the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me. I would be taken off in vision, and a clear explanation of the passages we had been studying would be given me, with instruction as to how we were to labor and teach effectively. Thus light was given that helped us to understand the Scriptures in regard to Christ, His mission, and His priesthood. A line of truth extending from that time to the time when we shall enter the city of God was made plain to me, and I gave to others the instruction that the Lord had given me. During this whole time I could not understand the reasoning of the brethren. My mind was locked, as it were, and I could not comprehend the meaning of the Scriptures we were studying. This was one of the greatest sorrows of my life. I was in this condition of mind until all the principal points of our faith were made clear to our minds in harmony with the Word of God. The brethren knew that, when not in vision, I could not understand these matters, and they accepted as light directly from heaven the revelations given. Many errors arose, and though I was then little more than a child, I was sent by the Lord from place to place to rebuke those who were holding these false doctrines. There were those who were in danger of going into fanaticism, and I was bidden in the name of the Lord to give them a warning from heaven. We shall have to meet these same false doctrines again. There will be those who will claim to have visions. When God gives you clear evidence that the vision is from Him, you may accept it, but do not accept it on any other evidence, for people are going to be led more and more astray in foreign countries and in America. The Lord wants His people to act like men and women of sense. In the future, deception of every kind is to arise, and we want solid ground for our feet. We want solid pillars for the building. Not one pin is to be removed from that which the Lord has established. The enemy will bring in false theories, such as the doctrine that there is no sanctuary. This is one of the points on which there will be a departing from the faith. Where shall we find safety, unless it be in the truths that the Lord has been giving for the last 50 years? Next is from a manuscript entitled The Sabbath Truth in the Sentinel and Elder Ballinger's Views, May 20, 1905. It will be one of the great evils that will come to our people to have the Scriptures taken out of their true place and so interpreted as to substantiate error that contradicts the light and the testimonies that God has been giving us for the past half century. I declare in the name of the Lord that the most dangerous heresies are seeking to find entrance among us as a people, and Elder Ballinger is making spoil of his own soul. The Lord has strengthened me to come the long journey to Washington to this meeting to bear my testimony in vindication of the truth of God's Word and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in confirmation of Bible truth. The Word is sure and steadfast, and will stand the test. Human investigations will be brought in, but the Lord lives, and He will bring to naught these inventions. We are to proclaim the full truth of the Word of God with decision and unalterable firmness. There is not truth in the explanations of Scripture that Elder Ballinger and those associated with him are presenting. The words are right, but misapplied to vindicate error. We must not give countenance to his reasoning. he is not led of God. Our work is to bind up the testimonies God has given and seal the law among his disciples. Let us all cling to the established truth of the sanctuary. Those who are so short-sighted that they will begin to do the work that some others have been doing in advocating the sentiments contained in Living Temple are departing from the living God in spiritualistic, satanic experiences that will not do the souls who receive them any good. They are departing from the faith, seeking to tear down the foundation of truth. The men who have lost their hold on the truths of the sanctuary question, as they have been presented as men who have been under the Holy Spirit's guidance, had better pray more and talk less. I testify in the name of the Lord that Elder Ballinger is led by satanic agencies and spiritualistic, invisible leaders. Those who have the guidance of the Holy Spirit will turn away from these seducing spirits. The next statement is taken from a manuscript entitled A Warning Against False Theories, May 24, 1905. In clear, plain language, I am to say to those in attendance at this conference that Brother Ballinger has been allowing his mind to receive and believe specious error. He has been misinterpreting and misapplying the scriptures upon which he has fastened his mind. He is building up theories that are not founded in truth. A warning is now to come to him and to the people, for God has not indicted the message that he is bearing. This message, if accepted, would undermine the pillars of our faith. Brother Ballinger does not discern what he is doing any more than Dr. Kellogg discerned that the book Living Temple contained some of the most dangerous errors that could be presented to the people of God. The most spacious errors lie concealed in these theories and suppositions, which, if received, would leave the people of God in a labyrinth of error. Those who cherish these theories are building upon the sand, and when the storm and tempest shall come, the structure will be swept away. A stronger determination to know nothing among men but Christ and Him crucified would have given a different character to the work of Brother Ballinger on this ground. By this he would have been saved from spending his time in presenting as truth that which, if received, would undermine the mighty truths that have been established for ages. He who claims that his teachings are sound, while at the same time he is working away from the Lord's truth, has come to the place where he needs to be converted. A rich and inexhaustible storehouse of truth is open to all who walk humbly with God. The ideas of those whose hearts are fully in the work of God are clearly and plainly expressed, and they have no lack of variety, for there is ever before them a rich cabinet of jewels. Those who are striving for originality will overlook the precious jewels in God's cabinet in an effort to get something new. Let not any man enter upon the work of tearing down the foundations of the truth that have made us what we are. God has led his people forward step by step, though there were pitfalls of error on every side. Under the wonderful guidance of a plain, Thus saith the Lord, a truth has been established that has stood the test of trial. When men arise and attempt to draw away disciples after them, meet them with the truths that have been tried as by fire. Those who seek to remove the old landmarks are not holding fast. They are not remembering how they have received and heard. Those who try to bring in theories that would remove the pillars of our faith concerning the sanctuary or concerning the personality of God or of Christ are working as blind men. They are seeking to bring in uncertainties and to set the people of God adrift without an anchor. The messages that we have received from heaven are true and faithful. When one man strives to bring in new theories which are not the truth, the ministers of God should bear clear warning against these theories, pointing out where, if received, they would lead the people of God. Those who have received the light of present truth should not be easily deceived and readily led from the true path into strange paths. The watchmen are to be wide awake to discern the outcome of all specious reasoning, for serious errors will be brought in to lead the people of God astray. If the theories that Brother Ballinger presents were received, they would lead many to depart from the faith. They would counterwork the truths upon which the people of God have stood for the past 50 years. I am bidden to say in the name of the Lord that Elder Ballinger is following a false light. The Lord has not given him the message that he is bearing regarding the sanctuary service. When men come in who would move one pin or pillar from the foundation which God has established by His Holy Spirit, let the aged men who were pioneers in our work speak plainly, and let those who are dead speak also by the reprinting of their articles in our periodicals. Gather up the rays of divine light that God has given as He has led His people on step by step in the way of truth. This truth will stand the test of time and trial. Next is a diary entry, dated October 31, 1905. I desire with heart and soul to do the work that God has given me as His messenger. I am anxious to give people the evidences of our faith as found in the Scriptures. There are many today who present strange doctrines, giving the Scriptures a wrong meaning. Elder Ballinger thinks that he has new light and is burdened to give it to the people, but the Lord has instructed me that he has misapplied texts of Scripture and given them a wrong application. The Word of God is always the truth, but the doctrines that Elder Ballinger advances, if received, would unsettle our faith in the sanctuary question. Already, Elder Ballinger has mystified minds by his large array of texts. These texts are true, but he has placed them where they do not belong. The light on the sanctuary question was given by the Spirit of God, and we who passed through the disappointment of 1844 can testify to the light that was then given on the sanctuary question. Elder Ballinger needs to rest a while and cease to sow the tares which will lead our people on a false track. As the messenger of God, I am to bear no hesitating message on this subject. Elder Ballinger does not see what he is trying to bring to pass. The message that Christ came to give to John on the Isle of Patmos needs now to be carefully studied by Elder Ballinger. For these words of warning tell us that men will arise claiming to have new light, whose theories, if received, would destroy our faith in the truths that have stood the test for half a century. We need to study and understand the message given in the third chapter of Revelation. It is too late in this earth's history to get up something new. The erroneous theories that we had to meet in our early experiences in this work drove us to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord gave me, His messenger, a decided message that men were placing a false application on the Word of God. Christ referred to this danger in the words, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die." Woe, woe to the man who teaches false theories. We are cautioned not to listen to the doctrines of men who were obtaining a false experience. We spent whole nights in prayer, and the Holy Spirit gave the message clear and distinct. All along the way we have had to meet just such things, but we gave no heed to them. Other presentations were made in doctrines that denied the truth which in the past had been advocated. Thus it will be till the close of this earth's history. The Word of God contains the truth, but when this Word is misapplied and made to strengthen error, we must meet this danger without hesitation. We must call upon our people to turn from such theories, to receive them not, to remember how they have received and heard and hold fast and repent. We call upon them to keep their spiritual eyesight clear and to receive not the elaborate, uncalled-for explanations of the Scriptures offered by some, because these explanations would undermine the pillars of our faith. Reverence the Word, but not its misapplication to substantiate error. To us who passed through the disappointment of 1844, it seems impossible that we should ever forget the experience and the knowledge given us to establish our faith in the truths given us through the ministration of the Holy Spirit. To those who have passed through the trying tests that have come all along the years, the Lord says, "You are my witnesses." All who have been enlightened are to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, those who are ready to die spiritually by reason of the false theories brought in through misapplication of the Scriptures. Next is a letter that was written to J. A. Burden, dated December 11, 1905. I long daily to be able to do double duty. I have been pleading with the Lord for strength and wisdom to reproduce the writings of the witnesses who were confirmed in the faith in the early history of the message. After the passing of the time in 1844, they received the light and walked in the light, and when the men claiming to have new light would come in with their wonderful messages regarding various points of Scripture, we had, through the moving of the Holy Spirit, testimonies right to the point, which cut off the influence of such messages as Elder A. F. Ballinger has been devoting his time to presenting. This poor man has been working decidedly against the truth that the Holy Spirit has confirmed. When the power of God testifies as to what is truth, that truth is to stand forever as the truth. No after suppositions contrary to the light God has given are to be entertained. Men will arise with interpretations of Scripture which are to them truth, but which are not truth. The truth for this time God has given us as a foundation for our faith. He Himself has taught us what is truth. One will arise and still another with new light, which contradicts the light that God has given under the demonstration of His Holy Spirit. A few are still alive who passed through the experience gained in the establishment of this truth. God has graciously spared their lives to repeat and repeat till the close of their lives the experience through which they passed, even as did John the Apostle till the very close of his life. And the standard-bearers who have fallen in death are to speak through the reprinting of their writings. I am instructed that thus their voices are to be heard. They are to bear their testimony as to what constitutes the truth for this time. We are not to receive the words of those who come with a message that contradicts the special points of our faith. They gather together a mass of Scripture and pile it as proof around their asserted theories. This has been done over and over again during the past 50 years. And while the Scriptures are God's Word and are to be respected, the application of them, if such application moves one pillar of the foundation that God has sustained these 50 years, is a great mistake. He who makes such an application knows not the wonderful demonstration of the Holy Spirit that gave power and force to the past messages that have come to the people of God. Elder Ballinger's proofs are not reliable. If received, they would destroy the faith of God's people in the truth that has made us what we are. We must be decided on this subject, for the points that he is trying to prove by Scripture are not sound. They do not prove that the past experience of God's people was a fallacy. We had the truth. We were directed by the angels of God. It was under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that the presentation of the sanctuary question was given. It is eloquence for everyone to keep silent in regard to the features of our faith in which they acted no part. God never contradicts Himself. Scripture proofs are misapplied if forced to testify to that which is not true. Another and still another will arise and bring in supposedly great light and make their assertions. But we stand by the old landmarks. Then 1 John 1 verses 1 through 10 is quoted. I am instructed to say that these words we may use as appropriate for this time, for the time has come when sin must be called by its right name. We are hindered in our work by men who are not converted, who seek their own glory. They wish to be thought originators of new theories, which they present, claiming that they are truth. But if these theories are received, they will lead to a denial of the truth that for the past 50 years God has been giving to his people, substantiating it by the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Let all men beware what is the character of their work. They would better be falling into line for their own soul's sake and for the sake of the souls of others. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It is nothing to the credit of any man to start on a new track, using Scripture to substantiate theories of error, leading minds into confusion away from the truths that are to be indelibly impressed on the minds of God's people, that they may hold fast to the faith. Reaffirm, reprint, retell concludes in Part 3 in the next issue.